This is called The Ins and Outs of Opening an Actual Bed and Breakfast, a Guest House, an Airbnb, a VRBO, and even a midterm rental these days. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. Gosh, I tell Adam all the time, you can make money in real estate a million different ways. And I was just having a conversation with my girlfriend earlier today where she wants to buy a short-term rental property down in Myrtle Beach. But she wants to be totally hands off and doesn't see where there is actually any management companies down there for short-term rentals. So we talked about her even going on to Airbnb and having a co-host or a guest host that can actually run the property from where it is, and that makes her more hands off up here. So there's just all kinds of ways that we can make money in real estate. I am Kathy Benner. I am a passive income coach. I also have the Kathy Benner International Academy, where I help a lot of my students with real estate investing. We have free meetups. This is one of our free meetups. We also have courses and also some mastermind groups if you want to, do a little more hand holding there. And I do, excuse me, one-on-one coaching as well. So I'm going to turn it over to Adam for a minute and let him tell you a little bit about what he does.
Yeah. Hi guys. I'm Adam Messmer. I am a mortgage broker with LFG Lending, the Lawrence Financial Group. My background's in private banking and wealth management, and but my heart has always been in investment real estate. So the products that I specifically deal with are geared towards investors. So everything from hard money to DSCR lending to asset-based lending to full commercial underwriting. There's a whole gamut of options that are available for the investor that are awesome. Things like closing in an LLC, not having loans report to your credit, looking at the total picture rather than just merely a debt-to-income ratio. Are a few of the beneficial things about doing these kinds of loans. DSCR lending, if you're not familiar with it, that's where we take the income and the expenses of the property and we qualify the loan based on that rather than your personal income. So if you're an investor and you're rehabbing a bunch, or if you're flipping houses or just have weird income, then I'm definitely the guy to talk to about getting more investment property. I would be happy to help you with that. I also have a short-term rental, and I run that through a management company, and that's been great. They're a local group called Housepitality, and I always give them a shout out because they've been very great to work with. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell. And I'll put all my contact information in the chat so you can call me if you need anything.
Okay, Adam, just make sure that you click the everyone button there so it goes out to everyone. There we go. So anyway, I have a short-term rental. I'm Kathy Benner, and I do some short-term rentals. I also have long-term. I have midterm. So I'm kind of all over the map. And the difference between myself and Adam is that I do all of my own management, and Adam has his short-term rental with a management company that he just indicated was Housepitality. And we've had, is it Ben? Is that who the
Ben Vail, yeah,
Yeah,
we had
Ben
him on.
Vail. He's
That was a good
been
episode.
on. If you go to the Kathy Benner International Academy and scroll down to the free replays of the ins and outs of opening a B&B, you can find our actual episode where we talked with Ben and he told all about Housepitality and how that worked. And so I was just telling Adam that I was working with my girlfriend earlier today. She's wanting to buy a short-term rental in Myrtle Beach area. And she does not want to have any hands-on. She wants to be totally hands-off on that property. She doesn't want to have to worry about flipping it in between guests and worrying about guest complaints and guest reviews and making sure that it's stocked okay, with everything they need as a vacation rental. And so she's not finding any management companies in that area just yet. Now, I'm sure there are some, but she didn't want to have to worry about that she's hiring the cleaning company and worrying about whether the door code worked okay and all of that long distance because she lives here in Central Ohio. So we talked about on Airbnb where you can have a guest host or a co-host, and that person could live in the area. And actually, you can, right on the back of the house with Airbnb, is you can split that commission or your income, that room rate, you can split it with your co-host. And it's whatever you design with your co-host. It's not a set thing. It's not like, you know, if you have a co-host, you have to give them 50%, or it's nothing like that. You decide between you and your co-host what you want them to do. If all they're doing is greeting your guests, you're going to pay them less. If they're going to go in and make sure that it's clean and they're doing the flips and they're doing the maintenance and they're also greeting your guests, you might want to pay them more. And it's whatever percentage you and your co-host agree on. And Airbnb actually does the bookkeeping for you and will send out those 1099s at the end of the year. And you do not have to keep track of all of that income and figure it out tax-wise. They do it for you. So that's kind of a sweet spot for Airbnb. Now, once you have a short-term rental, you don't necessarily have to just list it on Airbnb. With Adam, with his short-term rental on Housepitality, Housepitality has also done some advertising for him. Now, do you know where else they advertise, Adam? Do they advertise just on Airbnb and their website, or are they on other? We call them OTAs. It's online travel agencies, OTAs. Are they on more than just Airbnb?
They are. Yeah. They're on VRBO. Uh-huh. And then was it at the beginning of last year? Maybe it was the middle of this year. They signed a deal with Marriott. And so
I remember you saying that.
Like a pain to get into. So if you've got a property manager that has a good enough relationship that they can get into the Marriott Villas or whatever it's called, it's Marriott's short-term rental database. That one, because then if like the local Marriott is like overbooked or whatever, then they'll refer to you. So you get some of that traffic. So it's all about exposure. And the more channels you're on, I think the better off you are, as long as it's managed well.
Yes, I agree. Now, I actually started off on, again, when I started, I wanted to rent a room out of my house. That's how I got started. And I wanted to just dip my toe in the water, if you will, because I didn't know if I was going to like having people in my house, and I didn't know how it was going to go or how much work it was going to be. And so I kind of wanted to start slow just to see if I would like it. And so what I did is I have a 4-bedroom house. And I took one of my bedrooms and I dressed it all up and made it pretty and put it out on Airbnb and didn't go to my city, didn't do anything, just put it out on Airbnb to see if we had a guest or two, if I'd even like it. And then if I decided I hated it, I would pull it off of Airbnb and call it a day. There, I was going to be done. That was going to be my test. So I picked my first room, the one that I wanted to try. And again, I dressed it up and I took my pictures and I put it out on Airbnb. Now, Airbnb is just one of many OTAs. People all the time say, oh, do you do Airbnb? Well, what they really are asking is, do you do short-term rental? That's the real question, because it's kind of like you can have Kleenex and you can have tissues. And when somebody says, give me a Kleenex, what they mean is give me a tissue. Kleenex is a brand name of a tissue. Well, Airbnb is simply a brand name of a short-term rental platform. And so you really don't have an Airbnb. You have a short-term rental and you're simply going to advertise it on the Airbnb platform. And so the difference is with Airbnb, they really don't care whether you're approved in your city or not. That's up to you to determine. They don't worry about whether you're allowed to rent that condo or whether you're just renting, you know, a futon in the back of your garage. As long as somebody's willing to pay you for it, Airbnb is willing to let you post it on their site. And so that's why, with all that said, that's why I decided to just put my one room out on Airbnb to see if I would like having basically strangers in my house. So I did that. I received a guest or two and it was okay. We liked it. And, you know, the guests were very polite and very friendly. And you know, we have some breakfast stuff for them in the morning. And so it was working out really well. And so I did that from October of 2016 through December. So October, November, December, I did it for 3 months. On Airbnb, and it worked out well. So that January of 2017 is when I said, okay, if we're going to do this, now I need to get serious and I need to seriously look at getting approved through our city. So I did that. I got out the Ohio Revised Code. I figured out what does it require in our area to have a short-term rental. And again, that's another whole conversation, but I went through, jumped through the hoops and did everything. I had to have a fire marshal inspection and I had to have a health department inspection. And so I did all of that. And I got my letter of occupancy through Canal Winchester, Ohio, which is where I'm located, just right outside of Columbus, Ohio. And I got my letter of occupancy and now I was official. So now I was legally allowed to be a short-term rental. So from there, I added a couple of more rooms because of course, you multiply the number of guests and that multiplies your income. And so then I thought, well, now I need to actually advertise now that I'm approved, I need to advertise on some more OTAs, some more online travel agencies. So, I'm not very original in my thinking. I why reinvent the wheel? So I looked around at what some of the big boys were doing and they were advertising on booking.com that, my research said that was one of the larger OTAs had, a bigger reach. So I said, okay, well, Airbnb, as it were, said, okay, we get that you're going to, once you're approved in your city, that you can be on other sites. We understand that. And so we have designed, Airbnb says, we have designed where we will talk with booking.com, but there could be a 50-minute lag between our conversations. So if somebody books on Airbnb, on the Airbnb platform, Airbnb will pick that up. And within 15 minutes, they'll push it over to booking.com and block that room off so that you don't get a double booking. But there could be, they warn, a 15-minute lag time while that was taking place. Cool. I said, I'm good. I'm just going to be on Airbnb and booking.com. I'm happy. So within that first year of 2017, three different times in a 12-month period, which doesn't sound like a lot, I had a double booking, where someone booked on Airbnb and someone came in on booking.com within that 15-minute period, booked the same room for the same night. And all of a sudden, I'm out at dinner. Now I have to excuse myself from the dinner. I have to find a quiet place. And you know how restaurants can get crazy noisy. And I'd have to find a hallway or go to the bathroom or go outside or whatever so I could work this out. And so it was always stressful. And I said, I hate that 15-minute gap and I can't advertise even more because what if I get three double bookings, three people booking the same room? I just can't handle this. And someone says, why don't you have a channel manager? And I said, a what? And they said, why don't you have a channel manager? And I said, I don't even know what that is. And they said, there are platforms out there that you sign up for a fee and you then take Airbnb and plug it into your channel manager. You take booking.com and plug it into your channel manager and your channel manager talks in real time. I mean, we're talking a 2-second conversation gap instead of a 15-minute gap. So, and then they said also your channel manager allows you to take a direct booking. So you don't have to pay commission to those two guys, to Airbnb and booking.com. Somebody can book directly with you. And it's like having your own little front desk. Just like a hotel does, they come up to their computer, they can see what rooms they have available, and I could take a phone call and book it right on my channel manager if somebody called me direct, and it automatically pushes it out to Airbnb and booking.com within seconds, not within 15 minutes. So I said, oh my gosh, what does that cost? Found out that most of them are under $150 a month. Well, if you're doing any kind of volume at all, what's $150 for the peace of mind to not have to leave your dinner party to go work out this double booking somewhere and be totally stressed out and have a customer angry with you because they booked it fair and square and how come they're not going to get the room and the other person is. And you always had one person that you had to then find a room for them. And now I'm on the phone calling hotels in the area. Do you have any empty rooms? I'm overbooked. I got a guest. I have to walk them over to you. And that, by the way, is kind of the unspoken rule. If you double book, it's up to the host to walk them and pay the difference. Well, at the time, my rate wasn't horribly high. It still isn't. And my hotels sometimes would would, depending on what was going on in the area, their rates would go up. And then of course I had to pay the difference. So if I'm collecting $100 and I could only find a room for 150, I had to pay the $50 difference to walk them. So now not only did I not make $100, I ended up, it cost me $50 to walk them to another hotel. So you get it. And so anyway, I finally chose Cloud Beds for a smaller property of, I'm guessing maybe 100 rooms or less, or 100 properties or less. You have channel managers called Cloud Beds. There's one called Little Hotelier. There's the one that Adam is on, which is Hospitality. So there's all kinds of channel manager management companies out there. So anyway, I chose Cloud Beds so that I could still self-manage, but I didn't have to sweat having those double bookings. And so once I set up my app, and again, it's just an app. And once I signed up and I, you know, put in my credit card to pay, it actually cost me $124 a month. And with that on Cloud Beds, I get my front office, I get my own free website for my guest house, and I get the channel manager. So what I did then is I said, now that I have a channel manager, maybe I could be on even more OTAs, more online travel agencies, and fill in some of those dates that I wasn't getting bookings for. I could, you know, again, it's all about making yourself visible out there on the internet. So I picked up Expedia. And what I didn't know, and again, I just went over and Googled, you know, as I like to tease all the time, you know, me and my Google doctorate, I went over and Googled, you know, what is the top, you know, OTAs out there, and Expedia came up. So I said, oh, what do I have to do to get onto Expedia? So I researched that and I added Expedia into my channel manager. So now I've got Airbnb connected, I've got booking.com connected, and now I've got Expedia connected. So now I'm on three. Well, the good news is, what I didn't know is Expedia was in the process of gobbling up all these little OTAs. They bought hotels.com. They bought travelocity.com. They started buying a whole bunch of these other OTAs. And so now when I, and but it all comes to me through Expedia, they actually receive the booking and then send it through my channel manager to me. And then my channel manager picks it up and within seconds, sends it back out to booking.com and Airbnb to block the room offs. And I've not had one double booking since I went on board with the channel manager. And it makes my life easy because I do everything right on my channel manager. Simone says, it's okay, I use Google Doctorate all the time too. Yeah, I get it. I get it. So anyway, once I had my channel manager, I can now go right into my channel manager and I can block, if I'm going to be on vacation and I know I'm not going to be here to flip rooms, I can block the rooms off and it pushes it out to all those channels automatically for me. And if I have a guest that says, you know, I don't know for sure, I think I'm coming in town, can you hold a room for me? I can actually write on my channel manager, I can go in and block a room and hold it for 24 hours. And it actually even sends an email out to the guest saying, we've held this for 24 hours. And if we don't hear from you, we're going to release it such and such a time of day on this date. And it does all of that for me. So I don't have to, it just makes my management so much easier because I don't have to keep a paper trail of anything, because everything that comes in through these online booking sites automatically gets listed right in my channel manager. I can do reports from there. I can go back and test and measure, you know, how many bookings I had and what my revenue was. And so it's got all my tax reports are in my channel manager. Everything goes through my channel manager. So it's like having my own little hotel front desk right in my laptop. And so with that, I can just throw my laptop in my suitcase. And when we travel around, I can actually run my entire business right from my own little laptop, no matter where I am. As long as I have a Wi-Fi connection, I'm good. So that's how I got started. So from there, I said, you know what? I'm loving this. I'm loving it. It's working out really well. And here's, for those of you that are into real estate investing, here's what I've learned is one bedroom at my short-term rental guest house generates the same revenue as a one-bedroom apartment. But here's the good news. Because it's a room in my house, and I have three that I now have listed out there on my channel manager, I have three rooms in my house listed. So it's like having three standalone one-bedroom apartments. But within apartments, it, depending on how your apartments are set up, whether they're in a multi, you know, type building or whether they're single family units, doesn't matter. But you're going to have three furnaces, three hot water tanks, you know, three roofs for maintenance issues. I have one furnace. I have one hot water tank. I have one roof for maintenance purposes. So I actually cash flow more on my individual rooms out of my home than what I do on a one bedroom unit if I were renting it out long term. I actually cash flow more for the B&B rooms. So with that said, I started then saving that income and started purchasing more properties. That's my income to purchase more. That's how I'm 10Xing my business. And so one of the first things that I did is I bought a condo in Sarasota. Okay. So I bought it in a complex that says you can't do short-term rental. Now, we're going to do a couple definitions for some of you folks that are listening to this. And let me look here. It looks like we've got another person that's signed on. We got Tom C. Welcome, Tom. So we have Simone, Tom, and Trish. So welcome. So a lot of those condo complexes say that you cannot short-term rent. They want you if rentals are allowed at all, which I make sure they are before I purchase anything in a condo complex, make sure you double check that. And then I double check the area to see what's allowed. But the complexes that I'm in says that you have to rent for at least 30 days or more. Now in Florida, that's perfect because you've got the snowbird market, because they don't want to just come for a weekend. If they're going to pay for airfare or they're going to drive for however many hours, if they're driving there or renting a car or doing whatever, they don't want to just come overnight. They're not just passing through. They actually want to go and have a vacation for maybe 4 weeks or 6 weeks or even 4 months. And so at that point, my condo complex says that I'm allowed to rent my condo out twice a year, but it has to be for a minimum of 30 days. Well, my plan, of course, is to always rent it to a snowbird. And that way the snowbird's going to come for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, or whatever it is. And I can make in one rental enough income that pays for the entire condo the entire year. So it's like having a free condo in Florida. And so then when it's off season, I can use it as much as I want. And Mark and I do. We fly back and forth on Allegiant. And I tell Mark, we're not on vacation. It's a lifestyle. Get used to it. So, yeah. So he struggles with that. He's like, are we on vacation again? No, no, no. We're never on vacation. This is a lifestyle. Yeah. This is our lifestyle. Then,
have you already rented it out for this coming season?
No, I have not, because we, when we purchased it, we knew we wanted to rehab this one. And so we've got the lanai is done, the living room and bedroom is done, and we just pretty much finished the bathroom our last trip, and we still have the kitchen to do. And mm-hmm. once all of that's updated, then I will rent it out to a snowbird. Gotcha. So my guess is I probably won't now until next season. Now, for all of you know, the big storm hit down there at Fort Myers, and we're just about an hour north of Fort Myers. We could have rented our condo 10 times over. Because folks that were going to Fort Myers no longer have a place to go in many cases. And so we could have actually rented our condo 10 times over. So again, you know, hindsight is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, we weren't quite ready, because when we go down there, you know, we try not to work too hard, because mm-hmm. We're trying to make it a casual lifestyle and not feel like we have to go down there and hustle, you know, and rehab. Because we do a lot of that here. So we try not to do a lot of that there. So anyhow, we've stretched out the rehab process quite a bit, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. So then with that in mind, I said to Mark, and again, the income's coming in from the guest house here. And I said, okay, let's start looking for a couple of more, short-term. Well, the first thing I discovered again was a condo. And this condo had some of the same rules. It says we are going to allow rentals, but we don't allow short term. It has to be for 30 days or more. Now, if it's 30 days, more than 30 days, but less than 12 months, that's considered a midterm. So you've got less than 30 days is short term, 30 days, you know, 1 month to 12 months is midterm, and then 12 months or more is long term. Just so everybody kind of understands the definitions. And so with this one, I said, well, this one could be a midterm. And now a midterm is a little different because it's going to be kind of a hybrid between a short term and a long term, because you've got a person that you're going to treat like a guest, like you do in a short term rental, but you're going to put them on a lease agreement because they're there for more than 30 days. You're going to put them on a midterm lease agreement like you would a long term renter. So that's what makes it kind of a hybrid. I don't enter into a lease agreement when somebody's just going to spend the night at my guest house because they're just a guest overnight. So rules do not apply. I don't have to evict them if they won't leave. I simply call the police and go, I had an overnight guest. They won't leave. The police can come and make them leave because it's a short term. Once somebody is in a unit for more than 30 days, they have rights. And that's where then you have to enter into a contract. So we have in the Kathy Benner International Academy, we have all of those contracts available. So copies of contracts, we have all of that available in our masterminds. And we have all of those resources available. So I decided when I found this second condo that, again, allowed rentals, but did not allow short term, I thought, well, you have to always make sure that you have a plan B when you're doing any type of short-term, midterm rentals. And the plan B is, can the numbers work if you end up renting it long-term? Would the numbers still work if you just rented it to somebody and made it just a long-term rental? And they did. As a matter of fact, this condo came with a long-term renter in it. She'd been there for 3 or 4 years and was willing to stay. And so the numbers worked. I bought it. I closed on it. I told her, please stay as long as you want. So she did. She stayed for a year or so. And then she contacted me and she said, I'm going to be moving. And I thought, yes, now I get to try this midterm thing. And so she moved on and she was moving out of state. So I was able to buy her furniture. So I didn't have to go out and furnish it. And she had lovely taste. So her furniture was wonderful. And she was a neatnik. So her furniture was in great shape. And she took her dishes and her personal items, and she left me the curtains and the pillows and on the couch. And she left me the couch and the TV and the bed and the dresser, and everything was in wonderful condition. And so we just went in and you know, dressed it up a little bit and put it out there on Furnished Finders, which is a great midterm platform. And Furnished Finders is considered a midterm platform, but a lot of traveling medical professionals have discovered Furnished Finders. And so that you have a lot of folks that are getting assignments coming in. Columbus is a big hospital town. You know, everywhere around the Outer Belt, we've got a hospital everywhere. And so it almost doesn't matter in Columbus, Ohio, where you're located, you're going to be close to, you're going to be within 30 minutes of every hospital. And that's kind of the key for traveling medical professionals. When they're on call, they have to be within 30 minutes of where they're on call. And so this particular condo was close to the freeway, which was a plus, because no matter what hospital they're at, they can be there within 30 minutes. And so I decided to grab it. And once my long-term tenant moved out, I did put it over on Furnished Finders. Now, one of the things that I did, and I want to talk a little bit about midterm rentals. If you've got a short-term rental and you're having a hard time finding somebody to help you flip it, or you decide, I don't like having to go every couple of days and clean and make beds and do laundry, midterm could be your answer. And here's what I want to tell you. When you have a long-term rental, let's say you make $1,000 a month on a long-term rental. If you have a midterm, you're going to make twice what you make on a long-term. So a midterm for that exact same property that you're renting for $1,000, you can now rent for $2,000. And on a short-term, you're going to generate about 3 to 4 times the income. So on that long term, if you're making $1,000 a month, a midterm will make you about $2,000 a month, and a short term will make you between $3,000 and $4,000 a month. But the shorter the term, the more work. Mm-hmm. And the more, and if you're not going to do the work, then you've got to pay some of that $2,000 or $4,000 to pay somebody else to do the work. Because if you've got a long term, you're only going to flip that property every 1 to 2 years or longer. You know, I had one tenant that was with me for 17 years. If you have a midterm, their assignments are anywhere from 13 weeks to 26 weeks, and they might renew even a third time. So they could end up being there 3 or 4 assignments, but usually it's 1 or 2 assignments. So 13 to 26 weeks. So you're going to flip that unit maybe 2 to 4 times a year. But then if you move on over to short term where you make more money, you might end up having to flip it every week. And if you take one night overnight stays, you could be flipping it every day. So just so you know, the more money you make and the shorter the term, the more work there is in keeping it flipped and rented, and you know, you get it. So now I go on Furnish Finders. And so the first thing that I did for a midterm is I decided that I needed to enter, and here's the key for all of you. No matter what it is that you're marketing or where it is that you're going, you have to enter the conversation in your customer's mind, not have them enter the conversation in yours. You have to meet them where they are, not make them meet you where you are. And so the first thing that I did on a midterm is I got on some Facebook groups for midterm, and I listened to some of these traveling nurses, these traveling medical professionals, and I listened to what they were complaining about. They hated paying deposits because if they ended up renting a long-term place and then their assignment ended after 13 or 26 weeks, they then had to wait 30 days because that's kind of the rule for a long-term. They had to wait 30 days to get their deposit back or to see if they were going to get it back. But what happens with them traveling for the medical profession, they would have another assignment and maybe no break in between. And now their deposit's tied up at this place and they don't have the money to move to the next place. And so that frustrated them, is having to pay deposits. They hated having the utilities in their name for the same reason. All of you know, when you move to a new house, if you've not had utilities in that municipality before, oftentimes they charge you a deposit along with your utilities to get your utilities on. And then if you move or close down those utilities or turn them off, you've got to wait 30 days to get your deposit back. And so what it did is it was tying up their stipend, because these hospitals give them a stipend for their traveling expense. Because here's the scoop, they're getting a paycheck, but their paycheck is for their families. They've got families back home. They're not traveling all for the love of travel. Now, they might like to travel, but they're not traveling just for the love of travel. They're traveling because that's their income and they've got families to support. So then they get this extra stipend that sits on top of their income, and that's to pay for them being away from home because they still have mortgages and car payments and kids in school back home. So the stipend is what's going to pay for them to be away from home. So as a host, entering the conversation in their minds, you want to make sure you keep your rent within their stipend. And no deposits, and utilities are included. You see where I'm going with this? See, I'm doing all the stuff that makes them say, I want that unit. You know, this other unit might look great, but I want that unit because it's within my stipend. I don't have to pay a deposit. I don't have to put utilities in my name. It comes with high-speed Wi-Fi. It has free parking, and it has laundry facilities on site. See, those are all their hot buttons. Mm-hmm. You know, they're traveling medical professional. They have to be in scrubs every day. They're working 12-hour shifts. They don't want to have to go out to a laundromat and sit and wait for their scrubs to get clean. They want to be able to throw them in the wash, go to bed in the morning, throw them in the dryer, mm-hmm. you know, throw something on, go to work another 12 hours. And they don't want to have to eat out every meal. They want, you know, they want to be able to, you know, do a little bit of, they don't do a lot of cooking, but they want to be able to do a little bit of cooking, you know, to save some money. They don't want to spend all their stipend on restaurant meals every night. So plus, you know, they're stuck eating cafeteria food in all 12 hours while they're at work. So So you get it. Enter the conversation in their minds, and then that's what you want to put on Furnish Finders. You want to lead with their hot buttons, you know, on-site laundry, no deposits, you know. So I even went a step further, because some landlords doing midterm rentals, they wanted to make it, you know, rent 6 months at a time. Well, their assignments are weird. Their assignments start all different times throughout the month. Their assignments don't start on the first. And if you're used to being a landlord for long-term renters, we're in the mindset, if it goes from the first to the first, everybody pays rent on the first, you know, it's late on the fourth, there's late fees, you know. So some of the landlords were trying to, again, make that traveling medical professional mold to what they're used to doing, which is having the rent due on the first for every month. And that doesn't work for them, because sometimes their assignment doesn't start until the fourth, or it doesn't start until the 10th, or it doesn't start until the 13th. It's weird dates is when their assignment begins. And then it goes 13 weeks, which is an odd. It doesn't go 12, it goes 13. Because for those of you that do a lot of booking in whatever area, realize that 13 weeks fits into our calendar four times perfectly. 12 weeks do not, because some months have that extra week. And that's why 13 week assignments is what fits into the calendar perfectly. That's why the assignments are 13 weeks. So once you enter the conversation in their minds, what I did is I said the first 4 weeks is due, starting on whenever their assignment starts. It's due upfront, paid in full, non-refundable. Once they move in, it's totally earned, first 4 weeks. Then after that, guess what I did? I put them on a week to week, not a month to month. I put them on a week to week. That way, as they're getting their assignment and they say, well, my assignment's going to end early. The hospital is only keeping me for 10 weeks. Well, okay, the first four was earned. Now they're paying me week to week, but I'm getting twice the rent. So you say, oh my gosh, that's so much more to keep track of. Well, just like short-term, when I finally found a channel manager where I could do all my bookkeeping and everything for short-term on my cloud beds, I discovered that I could do my midterm and my long-term on a platform called Inago. Now, again, there's a million and one of those platforms out there. The ones that are most popular are called Buildium. Then there's Inago. There's one now through apartments.com. I don't know, maybe there's is Buildium. But anyhow, apartments.com has one if you are registered with apartments.com for your units. But you can do your long-term and your midterm, because remember, midterm is kind of that hybrid. And the reason it fits on a long-term platform is because you're going to have a signed lease. And the only difference is when you go in and you enter your unit into that platform, you're simply going to say it's on a week to week instead of a month to month. That's the only difference when you set it up. And then when they give you their check for the first 4 weeks, you're going to pull up the first four invoices and mark it paid, 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 because you've set it up on a week to week, but you've collected the first four. So now that keeps those invoices from going out to them. On the fifth week, they're going to start getting an invoice. And mine is set up to go Sunday to Sunday. And the only difference that I did to make it nice and clean for me is that I did say once they enter that week, it's considered earned. So if their assignment ends on Wednesday, they still owe Sunday to Sunday.
So then I have a question. So then, sure. Okay, so you collect a month, or well, you collect 3 months up front, right?
No, I collect 4 weeks up front on a midterm. 4 weeks
up front. You uh-huh. collect 4 weeks up front. And then after that 4 weeks, it goes month to month. Is that correct?
It goes week to week.
Week to week. That's what I meant.
On a midterm, yes.
So mm-hmm. then, and then, okay. So then if they leave before the 4 weeks is up, is it prorate? Like, do you have to give them money back? No. Or
the 4 weeks is totally earned.
Oh, okay. So
the first 4 weeks is totally earned.
For a week and they're like, hey, right. I got reassigned, then okay.
Yeah.
But
once they move in, Now, if they get reassigned before they move in, I have a waiting list. So I'm good with that.
Yeah.
If they get reassigned before they physically move in and they go, hey, I'm not coming after all, I've got a waiting list. Because I have entered the conversation in the minds of those traveling medical professionals, and I have a line of folks that want my unit. because no one else out there is doing what I'm doing. No one else out there is doing 4 weeks and then week to week. They're trying to still make them fit a long-term rental agreement.
Mm.
And I'm not making them fit a long-term rental agreement.
And I had another question. What, and this is the condo, right? This is the condo in Columbus.
This is the condo in Columbus. Now, one of the things that I did is I had to make sure, first of all, I wanted to be able to short-term rent it, which the condo association says, no, it has to be 30 days or more. But again, I made sure that that it wasn't in a place that excluded any type of rentals like that. And so Bexley, for example, doesn't want any midterm or short-term, and Whitehall really didn't want any midterm or short-term. But where my unit sits, when you look at the map, it's like, this is Columbus up here. And then there's like this little dip in the city, and my unit sits in that little dip, and you've got Reynoldsburg and Bexley on one side, and you've got Whitehall on the other side, and I just happen to fit right in Columbus City. And so again, if you're an investor, you have to do your homework before you close on some of these properties and make sure that you don't fall into a category that says you cannot do what it is you want to do.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Change the topic too much. Sorry, my cats are chaotic. But have you heard about this deal that Airbnb did with Graystar and these other big apartment buildings? Have you heard about this?
So no, I go ahead.
I was just gonna say, so Airbnb, and I can link this in the chat. Airbnb launches a platform allowing renters to host apartments, partnering with major landlords. So like Graystar and some of the big. Graystar is like the biggest landlord in the country. They have all these apartment buildings. So if you're a tenant, a long-term tenant, and you're staying in an apartment for one of these landlords, you can Airbnb, you can short-term rent your place. Now, a lot of the landlords are putting limitations on there. Like you can only do it for 80 days out of the year or 120 days out of the year. And a lot of that is to weed out investors specifically. But I don't know. What's your opinion of that? Do you have any thoughts on tenants?
Well, and again, what it is you have to kind of see where the trend is going. And number one, you've got all of my generation, which are now entering into their retirement years. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've got more retired folks right now than we've had in centuries. Mm-hmm. And the retired folks have, number one, again, you have to always enter the conversation in their heads. They've got some spendable income. They have the ability to travel. They're still healthy enough. You know, they're retiring at ages where they can still do some traveling. And so even if they're in a unit, you know, they might want to be a snowbird. They might want to be here part of the year with their kids and be in, you know, Florida or a southern state. During the winter months. And so all of a sudden you've got all of these dynamics that are going on across the country. And so with a lot of these big apartment complexes, some of them are really nice, high scale apartments, but they're targeting the actual occupant that lives in that apartment, because they don't want them, again, they don't want them to just sublet it all long-term. That's why they're having restrictions, like you can only do it so many months out of the year, and the rest of the time you have to live there if it's your apartment. So that's how they're getting around that. And so I can see folks doing that. But what they're trying to rule out with some of those rulings is the big A word, arbitrage.
Yeah.
Where investors come in and rent 10 units and then turn all 10 of them into Airbnbs. Sure. And none of the people that actually are in that company live in any of those units. They're just renting them so that they can Airbnb them out. And so,
Go ahead.
Well, Columbus, see, and again, this is where if you're going to do this, and I'm talking to the folks that are listening today and the folks that maybe listen to this podcast later, you have to do your homework with the municipality that your particular unit is located in to make sure what is allowed and what isn't, because every municipality is doing their own thing. The Ohio Revised Code says one thing, and it's kind of broad. It says this is what has to happen. And then every municipality can take that that code. If you're in Ohio, I used Ohio revised code. It doesn't, it depends on whatever state you're in. But then each municipality can take that code, excuse me, and they can then kind of tweak it to what they're going to accept. Columbus proper. And again, we've got all these little suburbs that say, no, 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 no. We do not want short term. We do not want midterm. We do not want transient. We only want you to live in it or be a long-term renter. That's it. That's all we want. But Columbus proper has said, not only are we going to endorse short-term rentals, but we're going to endorse arbitrage. If you get permission from the owner of the property that you're renting, you can then rent it and then sublet it back out as an Airbnb. And I, again, I'm using the term Airbnb loosely. Mm-hmm. What they're saying is that you could sublet it back out as a short-term rental. Now, Airbnb may be your platform, but you could also be on booking.com, Expedia, whatever.
Sure.
But they're saying, if you do that, we want a little bit of control. And here's why. All of the big boys have to pay bed tax. Bed tax goes to the city, and the city uses the bed tax to do some things, some good things with the bed tax. Mm-hmm. Part of the bed tax gets absorbed by the city to do some facade improvements. It keeps their neighborhoods, you know, that's where you get the little brick crosswalks and the nice little street lamps and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then some of it goes back to, as grant money, goes back to some of the properties so that they can paint the outside of their building. It just keeps everything looking nice, and it keeps these tourists wanting to come to your area. And so the money is put to good use, but a lot of the folks that are trying to fly under the radar, see, aren't paying any bed tax. And so I'm here to tell you, if you want to do this, get approved, make sure you can do it in whatever municipality you're in. And bed tax is like 6%. It's not much.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where you can, the money can come back to you, because they also fund, part of that money funds your travel and tourism bureau in every city. Part of the bed tax goes to fund the travel and tourism bureau, which is what's always marketing you as a destination. And so the money is put to good use. So just, you know, pay your dues, get on the radar. Don't try to fly under the radar. And Columbus City says, not only are we going to, you know, be friendly to these short-term rentals, but we're going to give you a permit. And on that permit, we're going to give you a permit number. And so the way we're going to test and measure and police you is every time you upload your listing onto an OTA, we want you to also list at the bottom of that listing that permit number. And that way, when our OTA police go out there to see if you're flying under the radar or not, we can tell that you're approved because your permit number is listed there that we gave you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they're monitoring that.
So one of my investor friends had some comments on this, and they were thinking, their concern is that it might cheapen the brand or the concept of short-term rental, because already when you have like brand new investors that are trying to feel their way out, they inevitably have challenges and problems and things that they didn't even think of. A lot of which could be avoided with a good coach such as yourself, but they still, you know, inevitably there's stuff that you just can't account for. And so now you're going to have people that are not really even investors. They're just doing it on the side. And it, I don't know, like they're worried. One worry is that some of these apartment buildings are just going to turn into squatting situations where you have huge portions of the apartment complex filled by squatters. This same investor was telling me about a friend of his that he has in California. And this is it's a 10 unit. It's a $5 million apartment building. So each apartment, you know, is valued at what, $500,000 or something like that. And he was going to short-term rent it. And out of the 10 units, 8 of them have squatters now, because he wasn't paying attention to the lease times. And you mentioned this earlier. Mm-hmm. If you go more than 30 days, then you suddenly have rights. And in California, you have all the rights. It's mm-hmm. if somebody's in there for more than 30 days, it's going to take you 2 years to get rid of them. Like if I mean, up to 2 years.
Well, and that's why if you want to get into any type of real estate investing, it's not for the faint of heart. And you do have to bring yourself up to speed on, you know, how to do this. Yeah. And that's why companies like you're with, Adam, with Housepitality, they've learned the ropes. They have all of the answers, because, and if they don't, they find out the answers, because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a person that decides they're going to go out and sublet, you know, 5 units somewhere, and they really don't have a clue what they're doing. And so what's going to happen long term is that those folks will wash themselves out.
Yeah.
You know, they'll either step up to the plate and get it right, or they'll get out mm-hmm. because they won't be able to handle the losses.
Yeah.
So they'll either get it right or get out of the business. And mm-hmm. so I think it's kind of self-regulating like that. I think the folks that are doing it correctly will soar, and the ones that are not doing it correctly will get pushed out, because they'll financially, they won't be able to hold on. Once they get into situations where they're like in your situation you just described, they're going to have to now get, you know, an attorney and get court cases, and what's that going to cost them? And they're not collecting anything. Nice. And so at some point they're just going to bail. They're just going to say, this isn't for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think because there definitely has been a surge in short-term rental investment. And you are getting a lot of people, a lot of first timers that are making mistakes, and they're washing out pretty quickly. I mean, you're getting the same thing with rehabs. So it doesn't really have anything to do with short term. I mean, it kind of does, but you know, like,
well, any type of investing. Yeah. You're going to have to make a decision early on that you're going to figure it out. I remember when I was leaving my corporate job and I was going to open a beauty salon. And I remember, you know, looking at myself in the mirror and saying, Kathy, you are smart enough to figure this out.
Yeah.
And I was switching careers totally. And I didn't know anything about the beauty salon business, but I knew that I had to come up to speed if I was going to make a go of it. And so, again, I think it has a lot to do with the tenaciousness of the investor as to the vision they have and knowing that they can figure it out. And again, that's kind of where I come in as a coach, or having my mastermind, is that I will help folks figure that out, because there is certainly enough room in the business for everyone, because I have gone, I've traveled to cities where there's not been a room to be had.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, let's do an Airbnb, because there's no hotel rooms, and and there's no houses that have anything available for those dates. Mm-hmm. There's something big going on in that area, and there is just nothing. And you're an hour out away from your event, because everything is filled up. So the tide rises all ships. I think there's room for all of us. But again, if you're going to do it, for those of you that are listening, if you're going to do it, get some help. If you don't have the answers, find someone that can help you get the answers that you need for your municipality, so that you are on the radar and doing it correctly. Because if you do it correctly, it's a wonderful cash flow business.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are coming up on the hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway from some of our conversation tonight and in general is really two things. You got to have a team. So you got to have a good coach. You got to have a good lender. You got to have a good property manager, a good lawyer, a good accountant, good, all these different things. And the other thing, which we didn't really talk about, but it's where do you get these people? Networking. Like, networking is the biggest thing. Like, so coming to webinars like this and finding people here, going in person, if you've got local options for real estate meetups and things like that, those are the best ways to form a network, to find deals, to find the things that you can't seem to Google. Are these great gems of communities that we've got dotted around the country? And if you don't have that in your area, start one. Because then you get to be the guy or gal. Like, you get to be the one that runs it
Well, and that's what congrats. I did. That's how I started Happy House Hunters.
There you go.
We went to a conference at the convention center in Columbus, Ohio, and it was a real estate convention. And if any of you are interested in real estate investing, you've probably seen these advertised, you know, learn how to invest, you know. And so we sit in the back of the room, and it's like a $40,000 investment. And the first 100 people that get to the back of the room get, you know, a special deal. And we're just sitting there with our chins on the floor, because I thought, if I had $40,000, I'd buy a house. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And so at break time, there was a group of us, I'll just say around the water cooler, if you will. And we were kind of like, wow, you know, is it really this hard that we have to spend $40,000? Look at the investment in just this group of four or five of us that we would mm-hmm. be spending to learn how to do this. And they said, well, why don't we start a little group? Why don't we just get together once a month and just kind of figure it out? And that's how the Happy House Hunters got started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's amazing. Yeah. Community's everything. Well, Kathy, this has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Any questions from the audience before we go? If you have any questions, just put them over in the chat. If there's anything that we can answer for you. Again, if you want to talk to me one-on-one, go to kathybinner.com and you can see where you can just have a one-on-one chat with me. It's totally free. You can scroll down and just connect whatever works for you. And Adam's information is there if you want to connect with him as well. So connect with us if you have any questions or you have anything in particular that you want to talk about, or if you're looking at a property or you don't know how to find this information about your municipality or HOAs, anything at all that you have a question on, I'd be happy to help you with. If you're wanting to buy something and you don't want to use your own money, or you say, oh, I don't have the funds to do that, then talk to this guy, because he's got lots of options. As a matter of fact, I'll toss out a little plug for Adam, we wanted to buy another short-term rental in an area outside of Columbus, Ohio, called Hocking Hills. And we had a line of credit on one of our long-term rentals. And so when we found the perfect property, we grabbed it. And again, I'll just say this briefly, I don't want to get into a big conversation, but we knew that we'd have to work the bugs out. This was a country property. It needed some stuff. And so we put a long-term renter in there for the first year to work the bugs out. And so then when we had the opportunity, we refinanced that long-term rental to pay off that line of credit. And we refinanced it with Adam, and he took care of us. And so now we have the option to now have a line of credit again. So when the next great deal comes up, we're going to be ready. So anyway, that's where Adam comes into play. So he can help you with that. And that's what we did. So now we now are sitting on the rooms in our house, which are three. We have three rooms that we're renting. Then we have the condo in Florida. We have the midterm rental in the condo in Columbus. And now we have the property in Hocking Hills, and we're still growing. So use other people's money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's all about cash flow. So I just want to encourage you that it can be done. Trust me, you know, here's me, country girl, grew up on a farm, minimum wage job, didn't know how I was going to ever retire. And now I ended up retiring early, and it's all because of my real estate investments. And I just made up my mind I was going to figure it out. And so now I can help you figure it out, and Adam can help you get there. So anyway, I saw we just had a fourth person jump in, Lynn, and we're just getting ready to close out. So sorry about that. But the replay is going to be at kathybinner.com. Scroll down to the free replays of the ins and outs of opening a B&B, and this replay will be uploaded sometime later tonight or tomorrow morning. So you can come back through and listen.
Awesome. Well, thanks.
All right.
Have a great night.
Yes. And thank you, everyone. And we will see you later. Bye.